What I'd like to talk with you about for the next few Sundays is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which we find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Paul says, "What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, your body then is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and there are a lot of components to your body. Your mind, your eyes, your ears, the flesh, the various functional parts. And we want to talk about this temple, but there's too much involved in it to deal with it in one lesson. So today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about this one aspect of the temple of the Holy Ghost, and that is your mind, if you still have one. But before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to guide us through this study, and then we will begin. It's good to see Mr. Holder here, and he bounced, which is good. Good to see you. Noah, why don't you pray for us? Amen. Amen. Before you got saved, the Bible describes what your mind was like and what my mind was like. So what we're going to do in this study today, time willing and Lord willing, we're going to look at what our mind was before we got saved, what it is now that we are saved, what it can be or should be as we grow in Christ, and then what it shouldn't be, or things that we need to be aware of concerning our minds. So we've got a little bit of scripture to look at today. It's a doctrinal study. You'll see it right out of the scripture. And first of all, what we want to do is turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and look at verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and look at verse 5. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And one of the controlling factors of this temple is the mind. Now, before you got saved, your mind, according to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5, was a corrupt mind. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. That's the way our minds is. Minds were. As a matter of fact, we see that same statement made again in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8 concerning Moses and the plagues that he brought into Egypt and the magicians that withstood him. Their names were Jannes and Jambres. 2 Timothy 3, 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. So that's the way we were. Now, you know, sometimes you'll listen to a news story on the television, read something in a newspaper, and you'll say, "Man, I just can't believe he did that," or "I can't believe she did that." Well, believe it. If a person's not saved, the mind is corrupt. And so when you have people that are making decisions, and these folks have corrupt minds, or you have people that are doing things, and they have corrupt minds, it shouldn't be a surprise to us when they come up with the things that they do. As a matter of fact, if we look back at our lives with regret on some of the things that we did before we got saved, are you not surprised with a corrupt mind that you were to do something like that? You know, the Bible talks about us returning to ways that we had, and he talks about the dog returning to its vomit. Well, that's the way we were. We were like a dog. And so it's not surprising. It's not surprising that that's the way we were before we got saved. It's not surprising when we're dealing with people that are lost that you hear some of the crazy things that you hear. The mind is corrupt. Not only that, you're in Timothy. Go to Titus, the next book, Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 15, and notice something else about the mind. Unto the pure, Titus 1:15, unto the poor, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. All right, so depending on what you were exposed to before you got saved, and to a certain extent even what you're exposed to after you get saved, those things are going to have a defiling effect on your mind. All right? So if you take a person who starts out as a child and looks like they're energetic toward the things of the Lord, they come to Sunday school, they seem to be having a good time, hadn't got saved, whatever, and go off to college and they begin to hear about evolution and they begin to see a very liberated culture on sin, and then they hang around people that have philosophies and mindsets that are opposed to God, you know what's going to happen to their mind? It's going to get defiled. And that's why we say it's so important when you're raising your children to keep them away from influences that defile the mind. And a lot of those influences are available to them on their cell phones and their computers. And in the video games they play, which you think are nice babysitters, but what they think are exposing them to a way of life and a mindset that affects the way they think. Those defiling influences. Friends have defiling influences on the mind because they will talk about things and refer to things a lot of times that children who grow up in church aren't aware of and don't find out about it until they get around the wrong group of people. So you have to be careful about those things. Before we were saved, we had corrupt minds, we had defiled minds. As 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'll show you another thing that was wrong with the mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. 4 is the verse we want, but 3 and 4. The Bible says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. All right, well, what's the condition of the mind of a lost person? The Bible says, in whom the god of this world, that's the devil, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So the mind is blinded by the devil to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, man, I sure have a hard time leading souls to Jesus Christ. Is it any wonder? With a corrupt mind that's been defiled and that is being blinded by the devil? You know, one of the things that it has to be true, back in the old day, that is, before some of you were born, there were not as many defiling influences. In other words, human nature was just as bad then as it is now. That hadn't changed. But there weren't as many defiling influences. You had black and white television if you had television at all. And when there was a bedroom scene, dad was wearing pajamas that were buttoned to his neck and she was wearing a gown and a robe and they slept in twin beds. And that was the bedroom scene. But it ain't like that today. And so, what you have is you have a lot more things working on the mind. You know, we ought to go back and do a very careful study of what went on in the 50s in the United States of America and in the early 60s. Because it was in the 60s that we went into Vietnam. We had the sexual revolution. Prayer and Bible got taken out of school. Evolution came in the 70s, Roe versus Wade. What went on in the United States of America at that junction that just exploded in sin? Because, boy, I mean, it turned this country upside down. All right? And so you take people that are raised in this generation now, and it's no wonder they're hard to reach. We had the same mind, but it's just more apparent today. So before we were saved, our minds were corrupt, they were defiled, they were blinded. But now that we're saved, our minds have changed. Something miraculous happened to our brain, to our mind. I shouldn't say brain, the brain is the brain, but the mind, the way that it functions. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And notice that God immediately gave us a great gift when we got saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with about verse 10 down to verse 16, talks about the natural man and the spiritual man understanding the things of the Spirit of God. But notice in verse 16 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him?" Watch it. "But we have the mind of Christ." So when you get saved, God gives you the mind of Christ. Now that other mind is still there. That thing that was blinded and corrupted and defiled, it's still there and you can still think with that. But now you've been given a supernatural mind and you have a way to receive supernatural things from God. You have a way to think about supernatural things that are not available to the natural mind. And what you want to do right away is you want to, whatever they say, plug that mind in or begin to use that mind. And one of the first things it's going to do, turn to Philippians chapter 2. I know we're just going from verse to verse to verse, but the Bible tells its own story about this mind. And that's why we're using so many verses to tell it, teach you something that you can see for yourself out of the Scripture. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. All right, this mind was operating in Christ, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. This mind was operating in Christ when he was here. Look at verse 3. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And then he goes on, "who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God," and so forth. All right, so the mind that we had before was a mind that was very proud, it was very self-centered, it was very selfish. The mind of Christ is a mind of lowliness, a mind of humility, a mind of servitude. And so he says, "let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ." So in lowliness of mind. Now, when you humble yourself in that mind, then you can begin to follow what the Holy Spirit does in your life and what the Scripture shows you to do in your life. So you've been given Christ's mind. Another thing that he gave you, look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and look at verse 7. This is a tremendous verse of Scripture here. Oh, they all are, but this one particularly when you consider the mindset of people today. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and look at verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and look at verse 7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love," watch it, "and of a sound mind." Well, that would indicate then your mind was not sound before. I don't know about your mind, I know about my mind. My mind was not sound before. Not certainly concerning the things of God. But now he says you have a sound mind. You know one of the greatest problems in the United States of America today is a problem with mental health. You see these shootings and people want to increase restrictions on gun ownership. They want to increase gun laws to make it harder to possess a gun. The problem is not with the gun. The problem is with the mind of the person that has the gun. And I don't know how many of these cases that we have heard of in the last 10 years have been related to the same thing. But I know a lot of them have because you read the reports. But nearly every one of these folks has been on antidepressants. They're suicidal. They have no business in the world with a gun, certainly not in public. And their mind's not sound. You listen to people being interviewed. You listen to decisions that people are making. You know something. The mind of the people in this country is going if it's not already gone. The mind's not sound. But when you get saved, God gives you a sound mind. Certainly, if you have the mind of Christ, you would have a sound mind. And the thing that competes with the sound mind is fear. He said, "God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Well, you know if you as we've mentioned this many times before, pay any attention at all to what goes on in public, in media, and all these advertising and everything else. It's all fear. People are scared. We were at the nursing home the other day, and we went to the volunteer luncheon after preaching. Brett played the piano, and I preached, and we went over to Trinity Towers for the luncheon for the volunteers. And one of the guys who was there and said, "Hey, I wanted to talk to you Baptists. Hey, do you think the end time is coming?" And they started running out of the litany of all the stuff that was going to happen. The guy, you know what? He's probably scared to death. And when that happens, you don't think straight. When I was a kid, I got real scared that a burglar had broken into our house. It's a long story. But I could hear the footsteps, and I could hear them approaching my door. And finally, I screamed. My dad came in there. Of course, there wasn't a break-in. There wasn't a burglar. All that stuff was manifested in my mind by fear. People are manifesting a lot of things in their minds by fear, and their minds are not sound. But you have a sound mind, so use it. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And look at verse 25. When you got saved, He gave you Christ's mind. He gave you a sound mind. And then He gave you a spiritual mind. Romans chapter 7. Look at verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. People say, we don't have to keep the law, we're saved. It's true that you don't keep the law for your righteousness. But if Christ fulfilled the law, He didn't save you to become a lawbreaker. So with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Because the flesh is incorrigible. It doesn't want to serve God any more today than it did before you got saved. But your mind, in serving the law of God, puts the flesh into subjection. Look at Romans chapter 8. Look in verses 6, 7, and 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So He's given you a spiritual mind, which means that you are going to start thinking about things differently now that you're saved than you did before you got saved. You're going to be looking at things from a spiritual sense. Before you got saved, you might look at somebody and say, he's attractive, or she, or handsome, or she's attractive, or she's pretty. You get saved and you look at them and say, that's a poor soul without Christ that's going to hell if I don't attempt to lead this person to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you see things differently with a spiritual mind. In the carnal mind, all you're concerned about is what you're going to eat, when you're going to go to sleep, how you can get a raise on your job, when you're going to get off some time so you can go play golf. That's how the carnal mind works. The spiritual mind sets its affection on things above, not on things on the earth, and begins to think about Jesus is coming. And I need to make decisions in light of eternity, and whether I'm comforted in my flesh or not is not important. What's important is that I have peace in my spirit. It's a totally different way of looking at things. Spiritual mind. All right, now because we have Christ's mind and a sound mind and a spiritual mind, then there are things that we should have. In other words, you don't necessarily get these when you get saved, but you should have these when you get saved because of changes that are being made in your life. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, for instance. Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, look at this. I beseech you, verse 1, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, there's your temple, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. Watch it, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right, that's what you're doing here today. You say, well, I'm coming to Sunday school. Yes, to get your mind renewed. Teaching of the Word of God, preaching of the Word of God will renew your mind. the men that are coming, for instance, on Monday night to men's Bible study. They're here on Sunday morning Sunday school, Sunday morning church. They're here on Sunday night. They're here on Wednesday night. And then, lo and behold, for 2 hours out of the week, they come over here on Monday night to get more Bible. Do you know what it's doing to their minds? Well, it depends on what we're teaching them. You know what it's doing? It's renewing their minds. And as that mind gets removed, or excuse me, as that mind gets transformed, what did I say? Removed. You know, I've been praying for that for a long time. Remove that mind. There are a lot of things, you know. There's one beauty to old age. You forget some things that you've been wanting to forget for a long time. Amen. Well, we can have an invitation right there. I think that's good. No need to go any further than that. No, renew that mind. Renew that mind. Transform that mind. So it quits thinking like the world thinks. It starts thinking like God thinks. And that's a transformation process. Now, here's the beauty of that. You know, it took me a long time to realize, because when I was young in the ministry, I wanted people to get saved and I wanted them preaching or on the mission field next year. That's just the way it is when you're young. But I realized something. People grow just like trees. You know, that blind man, when he got to see, he said, "I see men as trees." Trees don't grow very fast. They grow slow. And so do you spiritually. So that transformation process in your mind is something, you know what, that never quits happening. You are going to see the transformation in your mind all the way through until you die or when Jesus comes. You never plateau. You're always transforming as your mind is renewed. All right? You're in Romans chapter 12, show you something else about this mind. Since we have Christ's mind and a sound mind, a spiritual mind, it ought to be a mind that is renewing. And it ought to be a mind that is single. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 16. Paul says to the Romans, "Be of the same mind one toward another." Now, we don't have to look at any other references. More references in the New Testament to the mind have to do with this one comment than any other. That is that we are like-minded. That is that we are of the same mind about things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. People say, "Well, I believe all the churches ought to get together." Man, if we had an ecumenical movement and we got all the people who claim to be Christians together, just think of all the great things we could do for God. Well, make a mess for one. Because you get an ecumenical group together, believing all the things that they believe, you know what? You'd have a mess. You'd have to throw out all the doctrine. The only thing you could be like-minded about is that we as men can do something for God. But if you suddenly decide that we're going to stand firmly on the doctrine of the Word of God, immediately that's going to separate you from the pack. And it's not intentional. It's because we are going to be of the same mind about the things the Bible says. First of all, that it's true. That these are the words of God. And not man's words. And then all those doctrines that are in there. So he says, be of the same mind. You know, one of the reasons, and we've mentioned it only from time to time, but one of the reasons that churches split, they're not of the same mind. And I think one of the things that you'll see happen in a church split, if you want to just kind of stew it down to its basic, they quit thinking with the mind of Christ. They started thinking with the mind of men. And as soon as you get that in there, you're going to have a mess. Because men aren't going to agree about things. But listen, if I agree with Christ and you agree with Christ and I agree with His Word and you agree with His Word, guess what? We're going to agree. So He says He wants you to be of the same mind. These guys in Corinth were divided because some were of Paul, some were of Apollos, some were of Cephas, some said, "I'm of God." They you know what? That's a man thing. That's a man thing. So a single mind, and we should have that. Look in Philippians chapter 4 and to show something else you ought to have. You get all those great things from Christ, His mind, a sound mind, a spiritual mind, then you ought to have a peaceful mind, a peaceful mind. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Watch it. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, you ought to have a peaceful mind. Now, I'll grant you, there are things that will make you worry. And it's not necessarily the same thing that's going to worry me that might worry you. The old time preachers, I think it was John Wesley particularly, that said, worry is a sin. Another preacher said, I give myself 15 minutes in the day to worry. When that 15 minutes is up, I quit worrying. It'd be nice if it was so easy. But anytime you're worried, your mind is not at peace. And this scripture right here gives you the recipe for how to get that peace. First of all, he says, be careful for nothing. And then he says, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You put that thing up in God's hands and you get to the place where you know he's heard you and you trust him. You can let go of the thing and be at peace that it's going to work out okay. I've mentioned it before. I'll mention it again. Winston Churchill said, in my lifetime, I have had a lot of trouble, most of which has never come. Now think about that. There's a lot of truth in that. So you ought to have a peaceful mind. Your mind ought to be at ease about things. You say, well, boy, things are getting worse and worse in our country. Do you think that caught God by surprise? You say, well, they're going to take away our liberties and we won't have our religious freedoms. They can never take away your liberty in Christ. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They put old Paul and Silas in a jail one time. They started singing and praying. They weren't, their body was in bondage, but they weren't in bondage, and the Word of God was not bound, and the old jailer got saved. A peaceful mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 12. You ought to also have, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, a willing mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. You ought to have a willing mind. It's not automatic. In other words, God's given you the potential to have a willing mind, but you don't have to think with that kind of mind. But if you're growing in Christ, you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. Now, you know this passage and the next one, chapter 9, are all about giving, but look at verse 12. If there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath and not according to that he hath not. You and I ought to have a willing mind. Have you lived long enough in Christ to know that he's always good? You known that? Have you also known that any time he's ever led you to do something and you followed him, it always worked out right? Always. Then you know, you and I ought to have a willing mind so that when the Holy Spirit gives us some impulse, not a push but a lead, to do his will, we ought to say, that's what I'm going to do. Jesus Christ met the Lord at a very difficult time in his life in the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed that the cup would pass from him, but concluded his prayer with this, not my will, but thine be done. Why? Because he had a willing mind. And you know what? It worked out okay. In his weak moment on the cross, he triumphed over the principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly. He rose from the dead. All of us that are here today are in Christ and saved because of what he did. It was a great triumph. It was a great victory. But he put it all in God's hands. He had a willing mind. A lot of times what we have is a calculating mind or a resisting mind. Don't do that. Don't do that. The Spirit of God, listen, when it's the Spirit of God that's leading you, he will never mislead you. Ever. And he will never lead you contrary to the words of God. And he will always lead you in the way of God, and it will always work out. Always. You say, well, it's not working out according to my plan, then that probably means it's right. That probably means you're heading in the right direction then. So notice then, we have Christ's mind, we have a sound mind, we have a spiritual mind, and therefore our mind ought to be renewing constantly. It ought to be the same as others who are in the same doctrine, in the same condition with Jesus Christ. It ought to be at peace. It ought to be willing. But then we need to beware of something. We need to beware of something because, you know what? None of this stuff is automatic. You've got to protect that mind. Because it's constantly exposed to things. And there are some things that can happen to you even now, even after hearing this lesson, things you may even be going through right now that are going to upset the equilibrium of this wonderful mind that God has given you. Let me show you what a few of them are. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. One of them that will mess you up is a vain mind. A vain mind. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Now he's writing to save people who are in the body of Christ. And he says, I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. I thought that's the condition that you were in before you got saved. It was. But you can go back into blindness and a lack of understanding and be alienated from the life of God if you start thinking with a vain mind, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you've not so learned Christ. We have some folks that were in this church. Unless I'm terribly mistaken, they're just as saved as any person who ever named the name of Christ. And they are out there. And they are very messed up right now. You say, how'd that happen? Because they started walking in the vanity of their mind as other Gentiles walk. And they don't look like they're saved. Now, they're saved if God did something on the inside and they were born again. But if you plug in a mind to vanity instead of spirituality, you're going to track off course and you're going to go just like Gentiles go, and you're going to walk in lasciviousness and be alienated from the life of God and the whole thing. Have any of you ever been saved? Have any of you, since you've been saved, tracked off the way that Gentiles track off like that, the vanity of your mind? No. No, I've never done nothing. No way. Meaning, yes, I have, being totally sarcastic about that. Absolutely. And I'm telling you what, man, you look back on those days where you sit right now and you wonder, how in the world did I get in that shape? And you got in that shape because, you know why? For one thing, you put this book down. You let dust get on the cover of this book. You left it closed. You quit going to church. So now you're not exposed at all to anything reinforcing and renewing that mind of Christ. And guess what? That old vain mind kicks in. And boy, I'm telling you, it's a mess, isn't it? It's a mess. And the fact that God was long-suffering and merciful enough with us to get us back in on track and straighten out our thinking again shows a great deal of mercy and long-suffering and goodness on the part of God. Now, I'll tell you what, honestly, I think some people, well, we're going to see it. I'll tell you when we get to the end of this. I was going to say, some people, they stay in that mindset long enough until they don't come back. But we'll see that in a minute. You're in Ephesians, look in Philippians chapter 3. Not only can you have a vain mind, I'll tell you what, that's why we're so careful with these kids that go off to college. I don't say every kid that goes off to college goes bad. I don't say that. I thank God for Allison every time she comes back from college. It's right there in her seat. It's wonderful. But I know the temptations. And listen, college is filled with people who think with a vain mind. And totally contrary to Scripture. If you start believing all that stuff, you're going to be way off track. That's why I'm so concerned about our kids. All right, Philippians 3:19. Verse 18 for the context. Many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. All right, so an earthly mind. who mind earthly things. An earthly mind. See, you've been given a spiritual mind, and you have a carnal mind. That carnal mind still likes earthly things. That's why they say when you get saved, you want to see how a man's going to grow. It depends on which one they feed, the carnal side or the spiritual side. All right, so if all your time is spent in television and newspapers and magazines, internet searches and all that stuff over here, you know what? You're minding earthly things. And if that's not, I don't even want to say balanced with, because some people, this is all they do. But you gotta feed that spiritual mind. Otherwise, you're gonna have an earthly mind, and everything's gonna be about what's going on down here. And you gotta beware of that, because this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. The fashion of this world passeth away. All that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So when your mind gets stayed on earthly things, it'll really damage your spiritual growth. It'll stunt your growth. That's like smoking cigarettes when you're a kid. Stunt your growth. An earthly mind. I tell you what, today's Christian, for the most part, you can engage them in a conversation about politics, the economy, international world affairs, friends on Facebook, movie stars, good movies, and books. And in 3 hours, you won't exhaust what they know about all those things. And sports. They go on and on and on. They could talk to you for hours about those categories right there. Then you say, okay, now let's talk about the Bible a while. What's your favorite verse of Scripture? And what do you think about Jephthah over there in the Judges? And they're like, what are you talking about? What's that? And I'll tell you what that is. It's an earthly mind. You know, people say, man, I'll tell you what, it's great to see a resurgence of people going back to church in the big mega church movement. That's an earthly deal. That's a man-made pep rally for people who call themselves Christians. That's all it is. And it's all earthly. It's a light show. It's a rock concert. And it's a little sensual message to make you feel good about yourself, and so that you'll come back next week and put more money in the plate. That's all it is. It's earthly. Earthly mind. Beware lest you have a vain mind or an earthly mind. James chapter 1 verse 8. Beware lest you have this, James chapter 1 verse 8, a double mind. A double mind. James chapter 1 verse 8, beware lest you have a double mind. That is, you're over here and you're one way, and then you're over there and you're another way, okay? verse 6 for the context. Let him ask in faith, nothing unwavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. All right, a double-minded man is a guy that wants to operate with a spiritual mind and a carnal mind at the same time. That's confusion. So he comes to church and he wants to be spiritual, and then he goes home and he wants to be carnal. And then he wants to pray and ask God to bless his carnality. Ain't gonna happen. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double mind. You gotta be careful with that. Plug into one or the other. You wanna be carnal? Then go have at it. Go plug into that and go do all that. Go do all that. You'll regret it, but you don't wanna be carnal? Then plug into a spiritual mind and let that other one die. Don't feed it. But don't be double minded. I'll tell you what, honestly, I've tried that. Some of you probably tried that. That's the most miserable existence on earth. You can't be happy in either world. Not with a double mind. And then one more, Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. When I was studying theology, you know, we came across the doctrine of Calvinism, and predestination and all that other stuff. And so the discussion of a reprobate mind came up. Romans chapter 1 verse 28. And man, there were all kind of doctrines and philosophies about what a reprobate mind is that, if you ever have that, you can't be saved and never going to get saved and you're going to die and go to hell and all that stuff. But I've watched the developments in Christianity. And in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, look at this. That even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And you know, today, when I look at some folks, some Christians that were young and then got thinking with a vain mind, started getting earthly minded, started being double minded about the things of Christ, started feeding that carnal mind, their minds went. And I'll say this, and this is one of the dangers. I believe there comes a time, and I don't look at it as in it something where you can draw a line. I don't think you can write a book about it. I just think there comes a time when somebody starts messing around with sin long enough where the mind goes. And their appetite and desire for the things of the Lord is shot. They're stuck over here in a life of sin. And I'm seeing it today. There's some passage there in 2 Peter chapter 2 that talks about somebody having had the knowledge of God. They were free from that life of sin. Then they went back, started thinking about those things. And what happens is, They take a detour and they say, you know what, but I don't want to think about God anymore. And I'm not saying that a person can't come back from that. When they talk about a reprobate mind, they say a person can't come back from that. But I've watched what this has done. I remember a fella, when he was 18 years old, was raised in a preacher's home, and he told his dad, he said, when I'm 18 years old and you're not going to tell me when I can go to church and when I can't do what I want to do, I'm out of here and I ain't coming back. I met him when he was in his 60s, and he lived up to that. And I'm telling you, he had one terrible life of sin behind him from the time he was 18 to the time he got there. And he started coming back to church and preached, and we had fellowship together, started praying. And I'm telling you what, his mind was permanently damaged. Spiritual mind was permanently damaged by that. But he was grasping at, you know what, I need to straighten this stuff out. And it left some boogers in him, boy. I'm telling you what, you can't mess around with your mind. If you don't want that mind to like go off the cliff, if you will, and have an appetite for these things that follow in verses 29, 30, and 31. As a Christian, you need to stay in the mind of Christ, and you need to keep that mind pure, and you need to keep that mind in the Bible. And you need to keep that mind renewed and peaceful and willing for the things of God. Must do that. That's because that's the driving thing in the temple of the Holy Ghost. Keep it clean. Father, we're thankful today for an opportunity to look in these things concerning our minds. And I'm asking you, please help us to be faithful now to remember these things we've studied and to protect these minds and keep them clean in the words of God. Keep them clean with spiritual thinking. We ask you to do all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.